Off Base Podcast.
This is Last Place Joe. There's no shame in finishing last. Anyone who listens to my commentary on this podcast, do it at your own risk.
We can really express our true opinions about who we think sucks. Mr. Timothy Lamar Lincecum. That guy's a gas can. Terrible second half last year. Bad spring so far. I don't like him. I think he's overrated.
I don't have a lot of good data to back this up, but I'm going to say it. I think Matt Kemp's overrated.
You think Prince is a justified top 10 pick?
I don't like him. I think he's overrated.
I think Marmol is overrated.
I think Jacoby Ellsbury is overrated. I don't like Evan Longoria or David Wright. I think they're both overrated. I happen to think I have the best and brightest insights among the three of us.
And I finished in last place.
You got Scott Bodley here, the BOD. I work hard all day. Was in a foot race. Adrian, Poppy, or Usain Bolt running back.
I thought Sean Markham was your secret love child.
You know, we really did it for the Bengals. After Tulo, it is a barren wasteland. You might as well draft Ernie Banks or Jeff Blauser.
Well, apparently we had a slight Twitter malfunction.
I don't really consider Cabrera first baseman. If you're playing him at first base, you're an idiot. Why would someone take Votto over Cano? It blows my mind. I'm just a champion all the time.
The Big Cat.
We are three knuckleheads sitting around doing a podcast on fantasy baseball.
It took it a little while for the secret to actually get out.
Every time Wally picks somebody up, it's gold. It could be, you know, my grandma, and all of a sudden she'd be hitting like 350.
Until I see Miguel Cabrera out there with an actual frying pan on his hand, then I'll change my mind. Matt Kemp's going to win the NL MVP. If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Sit back, enjoy the information, the knowledge.
What is up? Welcome back to the Off Base Podcast, episode number 6. We're short one guy today. Last place Joe is on the mend.
He's so gone.
Where's he at?
Well, he ran away because he's already going to lose the league, so he didn't want to participate anymore. He's actually with family in Arizona, so we are without Last Place Joe.
No Last Place Joe, but we have a replacement. We got a guest filling in for him.
Bum, bum, bum!
You got Big Clint, the Surge, another league member coming to give us his opinion and thoughts on all things fantasy baseball today. What's up, Clint?
What's up, all you international listeners out there?
So, you excited for the season to start, Clint?
Oh, I can't wait. What do you mean, though? It already started a week ago.
I guess that's true.
Mariners A's, baby, in Japan, international.
That's right.
Yep. We're podcasting today from my basement, a little bit different spot than we normally do it from. We just got done watching Marlins Cardinals.
That's right.
So it was a good time, except for me, because I got to watch Josh Johnson get his can lit for
he was
the first
terrible.
Couple innings.
I will trade you right now, Derek Jeter, for Josh Johnson.
Yeah, let it begin. Let it begin.
Just straight up, though. Straight up, Derek Jeter for Josh Johnson.
Future draft considerations, too.
Will I be able to get his shoulder doctor in the trade as well?
Dude, his shoulder looked fine. It was his control that seemed to be a problem. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'm not stressing that out too much right now. I'm feeling okay about it. One start. He worked fine after those first couple innings, so.
So is David Freese going to be the NL MVP?
He looked pretty good, huh? I mean, that was the one we talked about last week that you drafted him. When did you take him? Like the
14th, 15th, something like that?
14th to 15th round. You weren't very excited about
no,
it.
No, but suddenly I am.
All it takes is one game, and everybody's happy. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things. It's so early. You can't really take a snapshot of something like this and make too much out of it. But
yeah, because Kyle Loesch might be the Cy Young this year, too.
When are you going to pick him up, Clint?
Probably when everyone else does. Tomorrow.
Yeah, well,
he might be already gone.
I guarantee he's going to be the most added guy here in the next day or two. But
what do you guys think of Carlos?
He's okay. I mean, maybe spot start him here or there, but he's not going to strike a lot of people out, I don't think.
He'd have to have me batting every time to have more than 9 strikeouts a game.
Yeah, he's a guy that's going to give you good ratios, good ERA, good whip, give you a good shot at a win. What do you have? You said 14 wins last year. So, I mean, he's a guy that can give you, you know, a chance, but I don't know that I'd want him running out there for 200 innings and giving me 100 strikeouts.
So, what do you think about guys like him and Tim Hudson where their Ks suck, but they give you good ratios? I mean, they do provide some value.
Right, and that's why I think the best thing to do is maybe spot start them. If, you know, you have a guy go down or whatever, you can go ahead and get 2-3 starts out of them. But they can really hurt you on the K side of things, because unless you have a way to make that up with a huge middle relief K guy, you got Kimbrel or you've got, you know, one of these other guys that's averaging 12, 13 Ks an inning. If you're running Kyle Loesch out there for 200 innings and he's giving you, what did we say it was? It was 5-something Ks per nine.
That's not good.
It's going to kill you. Yeah. I mean, it's going to really weigh you down, and it's hard to make up those Ks. So, I mean, like I said, I'd feel good spot starting, but that's about it.
It seems like every owner who has Tim Hudson, they try to trade him, and they never can. It's like they wouldn't be able to trade him for Ryan Madsen right now. Right. Nobody likes their K rates.
Well, we all know Ryan Madsen is a better draft pick than Hunter Pence.
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, that wouldn't be a bad trade.
How do you feel about your Hunter Pence pick, Scott?
Well, we can talk about that later. We'll get into it in a little bit here.
Let's talk about it right now.
Dude, I feel the same way about the Hunter Pence pick as I did 3 weeks ago when we first talked about it on here. I wasn't in love with the pick then. I'm not in love with it now. But I will tell you this. I will guarantee it's not the worst pick of the draft.
So
it's not even close to the worst pick of the draft, as some people seem to be indicating. People who get their feelings hurt because they're a bunch of little girls and have to go out and start spouting off at the mouth.
Well, isn't that what you've been doing the past 2 days, spouting off at the mouth because somebody called out Hunter Pence?
Maybe you should catch everyone up on what's going on.
So here's the deal. Wally, the returning champ, he made a post that
pretty much He had a gut feeling.
A gut feeling. Hunter Pence is the worst pick in the draft, which, you know, wasn't the best pick. And Scott went on a tirade, and he's posting like 5 message board posts a day talking about how great Hunter Pence is and how he's comparing him to everybody else in the draft about how he's better than Marco Scudero.
Right.
Of course he is.
Exactly. That's the point. There was at least 15 other picks in the draft that were worse than that Hunter Pence pick. That's the point. It's not that I love Hunter Pence. I mean, I said on here that I didn't love the pick at the time, which, by the way, the whole thing started because Wally went on the message board and said, hey, you know what? No one's pointed out how bad this Hunter Pence pick is. Yeah, we did 2 weeks ago, a-hole. So why don't you stop, pretend like you're listening, and actually pay attention a little bit, and that would be fine. Okay, that's the first thing. Second, it's not that bad a pick. There's so many picks that are worse than that. He's going to give me 5 categories. He fills up all 5 categories. Is he amazing? No. Is he going to win me the league? No. But he's definitely not going to lose the league. That's bottom line. And so, you know, this guy's coming out talking about all these things that he doesn't know about. Dude, all you have to do is shut your trap and go about your business.
But how do you feel about Wally's tagline that says, 20 bombs, 10 steals in the third round?
That's what I got. There's no doubt. But I also got 100 runs, 100 RBIs, and a 300 average. And I'm sure that you didn't get that in the 30th round with all your second basemen. I mean, you can go ahead and run all those second basemen out there all day, and it doesn't matter. So you're never going to equal those stats, but, you know, good luck with it. You know, that between that and your 780 at-bats on the DL, I'm feeling pretty good about my opportunity to go ahead and dethrone him.
But with that, what about all those Logan Morrison fill-ins that he's talking about?
Well, dude, I mean, of course, why wouldn't you want to just throw out a bunch of guys off the waiver wire for 780-plus at-bats?
What are you talking about with the fill-ins?
Wally's big contention is that Nelson Cruz is a better pick than Hunter Pence or someone that is steady year after year, because you take the stats that Nelson Cruz gets and then you have a fill-in for the inevitable 100 to 200 at-bats that Nelson Cruz isn't going to get because he's going to be on the DL.
No doubt.
And with those two combined, you've got a better player, which in a vacuum is a fine philosophy. But when it's almost every single player on your roster that's going to be sitting on the bench for 100 at-bats, and then you're running Andre Ethier out there for 10% of your total at-bats for the season, I will take my chances all day long against your fill-in replacement players.
I think that's why he got 4 second basemen, so he could have a whole bunch of fill-ins for Chase Utley.
Well, he's going to have to. I mean, Chase Utley is probably not going to play. I mean, I could. It's just as likely he gets 0 at-bats as he gets 300 at-bats at this point.
Well, I'm just glad there's not a timetable for his return, because that means Wally knows when he's coming back. Oh, wait, he doesn't know when he's coming back.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things. I mean, like I said, the funny thing is I'm defending this pick, and now my whole season is based on this guy that I've never even really liked. I wasn't that stoked about in the first place, but it is what it is. I mean,
well, the great thing about it is that you admit that it wasn't a very good pick, that you don't like it that much. So I'm wondering, what if they would have called out, say, your Ellsbury pick? One that you actually liked. Like, there would be, like, a warrant out for your arrest.
Well, the funny thing is, I don't think I would have got as pissed, because even the Ellsbury pick, I'm not in love with that pick either.
Okay,
what
pick do you love?
What pick do you love?
What if they called out your Morales pick, which is a nice pick late in the draft, and I said, what are you doing? He's hurt.
Yeah, I would have gone nuts.
That angle's not going to do anything.
I would have gone nuts, probably.
You would have gone crazy. By the way, Morales is a terrible pick.
Yeah. He's not
oh, good times. So, do you got that out, or do you have any more?
No, I'm good.
We got to get Wally on here, so you guys, maybe we'll have to put you in
chains. I honestly don't know if me and Wally can be in the same room anymore. I don't know. I might have gone over the line a little bit on a couple of my posts. So.
A little bit?
I don't know if he's a little bit pissed or what, but we'll work that out.
Isn't there a way that people around the world can see those posts now, too?
Yes. You know what? The league is open for everyone to see. Thanks, Clint. If you go to a tinyurl.com, I have a tinyurl.com, by the way. It's tinyurl.com/offbasepodcastleague. So type that in. You could see our league. You could check out the message board posts. We've had 98 posts already, guys. 98.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of talk. But I think that happens when your draft's like 2 weeks before the season.
Well, it's interesting, though, because I know in past years when we've had it this early, it actually goes dead for a while because what are you going to do? You just look at your roster and that's it, you know? So.
Yeah.
And depending on how mad Wally can get the big cat, you know, how mad he can get the big cat will determine on whether that content is suitable for work or not.
That's true. Speaking of league activity, we've had 28 roster moves already. That's a lot, considering no one's played.
Yeah, no, I mean, guys are adding and dropping people like crazy. I think a lot of those are just for that Japan series and for this game tonight. People were kind of jockeying around trying to get an extra game at catcher or something like that. Like, but
a lot of them are the closers, too. A lot of injuries and a lot of stuff going on with the closers.
So do you feel bad at all for Vengeance for taking Madsen and Farnsworth, and now both are out?
Dude, it just...
That's brutal.
Yeah, it's brutal. We talked about the Madsen one, but that one, I mean, dude, I love that pick. I love Madsen going into the season. And
anybody could have taken him.
Oh, yeah. Wait, Vengeance has injuries on his team?
Yep.
I have never heard that before.
He should post about it a few times.
But no, I mean, it's one of those things. Injuries are going to happen, and what, you know, the Madsen thing, it's just bad luck. That's all it is. And no matter how, you know, how much you read and whatever about all this stuff, when push comes to shove, there's still a pretty good luck factor that plays into all this. I mean, guys like that who don't really have any indicators that they're going to go down, if they go down for the season, what are you going to do? You know, just bad luck.
Now, Clint, you had an interesting strategy with closers. You took three solid/reliable ones.
Let's call them the best three closers in the league.
All right. You can call them that if you'd like.
Okay.
Tell us your thought behind that.
I have a real tough time keeping up with the waiver wire ninjas in this league. So I needed to get solid closers that I knew I could rely on, because I can't wake up at 2 in the morning and read the latest news on fantasy closers to be able to keep up with all you ninjas on the waiver wire. So I had to get closers that were going to help me through the year that I could rely on. Secondly, is I hate the fact that I have Matt Capps every year, and he kills my ERA and my WHIP and just ruins my staff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wanted somebody that was going to help me in all those categories outside of saves.
So who are the three you got?
Craig Kimball is going to help me, which is why I'm going to go pick up Kyle Loesch, because he's going to get 200 Ks and 100 innings pitched. So that'll offset Kyle Loesch's bad K rate. Then I got Jonathan Papelbon, and I got... Who's my other one?
Mariano.
Can't forget about the robot.
Now, does it scare you at all that these guys are dropping like flies? Or does it scare you that they think maybe this is Mariano's year where he realizes he's 103?
If it happens this year, then yeah, I'm going to be in a little bit of trouble. But that's why I tried to go with people that I felt like weren't going to have any issues.
No, it's a good strategy.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. If Scott, the BOD here, is pretty much a waiver wire ninja. I mean, the dude pretty much picks everybody up closer wise. As soon as somebody even feels a slight twinge in their elbow, the BOD is out there picking up the next guy in line. And so a lot of people Clint included, get frustrated with, hey, I have no chance to pick up closers. I mean, how many closers do you have on your roster right now?
Technically, I have six, but two of them are
part-time.
Well, part-timers like Brad Lidge and Peralta. But, you know, you pick up Peralta. They said that Farnsworth had elbow soreness. Well, they said the same thing about Madsen, and then boom, Tommy John, gone. You have to take that risk.
Right. Well, and especially early in the season, if he's already having a little bit of elbow issue, you think that something like that could easily linger on throughout the course of the season, and before you know it, Peralta, you know, find himself situated in that job full time. So
that's right. Now it's time to pat us on the back. All you Twitter followers out there, you saw a tweet Sunday afternoon saying, it looks like Acevis is going to get the closing job. And all the other experts out there said it's going to be, what's his name?
Melanson.
And it was Acevis. I love it.
And the waiver wire ninja had made that move Sunday morning. I was trying to go late to church to be able to pick him up, and little did I know, 4 hours earlier, waiver wire ninja had already got him.
The reason why I got him, I read an article in the Globe where Bobby Valentine was talking about him. So it pays to read the actual news and not just listen to the experts who just listen to the other experts. So
that just goes to show you how crazy our fantasy league is. When guys are reading the Boston Globe Sunday morning to try to figure out who's going to be the closer.
Well, isn't that what you guys all do?
Dude, I definitely read a lot of stuff, even non-fantasy stuff, like you said, especially on Twitter. Follow as many baseball guys as I can on Twitter, because a lot of stuff will break on there before they have time to post an article up on the Globe or whatever. But the thing is, I mean, you've got to be on it as quick as you can, and when you see it, you've got to go and make that move, you know?
So do you guys have, like, your go-to sources that you're always looking for as far as information you trust? Because I have a hard time reading things from, you know, Matthew Berry or different sources, and they're saying that, you know, whoever is going to have a breakout year, and I go pick him up, and he doesn't even start. Do you have your go-to sources or articles or spots that you're getting your information from?
I try to read as much as I can, because everybody will have different opinions, and if you hear someone that has something a little different, you could sort of sniff it out and see if it's legit or they're just smoking crack.
Right, I agree. I think it's a volume thing. I mean, the more opinions you can hear, the more you're going to be able to really kind of sort through people that are following the same thought process as you and things like that. Because, you know, everybody, some guys like pitchers more, some guys, you know, love hitters, whatever it is, everyone's got their own bias. And so when you read through all that stuff, you can get a better feel for where you fall inside that mix. I mean, you can't hurt yourself by reading as much as possible and following as much as you can on all that stuff.
Well, and, you know, the local reporters will definitely have more information on the specific team, like the Globe had with the Red Sox.
Right, following beat reporters on Twitter is amazing. Those beat guys are in the locker rooms, you know, they're at every, during spring training, they're at every game, and they're in the locker room all the time, and they will tweet stuff as soon as they hear it, you know, and it gets out there pretty quick that way, and you can make a lot of good decisions, you know, especially closer-wise, things like that.
And the thing about Twitter, too, once any sort of news is out, it goes like wildfire. In about 3 minutes, everybody has it. They're retweeting it. Everybody knows.
Yeah, and I mean, you do have to be cautious about it in that there is so much information on Twitter. I mean, there's just a billion guys posting stuff, right? And so you have to make sure that you're following a credible source. I mean, that's definitely something you have to worry about.
Right.
But if it's a beat reporter for the team, you know, at a major paper in that city, something like that, I think you're probably pretty safe.
I agree. So, Clint, question for you. Me and the big cat and Argie, last place Joe, we've all taken shots at people of the league. Now it's your
time. First, let's say we haven't taken shots at people. It's not like we're sitting there trying to take shots at people.
They feel like we've taken shots.
Well, there's one person that wears a dress, and then there's a few other people that are just, you know, going about their business.
Hey, I think Clint looks really good tonight, but he's not wearing a dress.
Thank you.
So, yeah, tell us, what do you think about the league?
I need to take a shot, and it is one of the worst teams that I think a spreadsheet has ever put together, and that is the Bleacher Creatures. Have you seen his team? His team is terrible, and he's going to say that his spreadsheet gave him the best team possible, but I think it is complete garbage. I don't know how he thinks he's got anything close to what someone can call a fantasy team.
So why don't you like it?
It's just top to bottom. He doesn't have one single player outside of, you know, the first couple of rounds that I would even want on my team. How is that possible?
That's a very good question. And the best thing about this right now is I can't wait for Bleacher's response to this on the message board.
It's terrible. His team, His spreadsheet, it definitely let him down. He claims he didn't pay for it. I think he paid a lot of money for it, and it seriously, he needs to get a money-back guarantee on that bad boy.
Bleacher has his spreadsheet that he's compiled all this data, and I think it's his own formula that he's done that he wrote to give him stats, and it tells him who to take. Like, he's like Stephen Hawking or something, except he can talk and walk.
Bleacher works for a company that sells scents, candles.
Yeah, he...
And I think that day they had tested one too many scents, and he had one too many brain cells missing that night we did the draft.
But you know what, though? If it's his projections, he's going to like the guys he likes, and it's almost like anybody else, that we'll take the guys we like, you know, 100 pence, and others will stay away from them if they don't like it.
The only thing that I can give him, and which we've had this argument on our draft board before, is it's hard to not think about last year's stats. We've fought about it the last couple days. Mm-hmm. That they don't count for this year. What's your guys' opinion on that?
Well, I think you definitely have to use past stats as an indicator for what's going to happen in the future. I mean, granted, it's not going to be stat for stat the exact same as what you've seen the last 2-3 years. But if a guy's been in the league for 5 years, you can get a pretty good indication of where he's going. You can see trends up, trends down, all that type of stuff. I mean,
but when they're young or when they're up and down all the time, how do you know that you're, I mean.
Well, for example, Longoria, he's had a great career, and last year even had a good year. Argy's not here to go crazy on this, but he hit 244. So if you look at his whole career, he's been fine. So doesn't that just smell bounce back?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, that's how you're able to tell. You can look and see, hey, this guy has done X, Y, and Z over the past 3-4 years. Maybe he's been injured here or whatever. And you can figure out, okay, if he puts it all together, he's got these tools. I mean, there's that. And then there's also watching games. I mean,
right. The
more you watch a player, even if his, you know, especially a young player, let's say like Brett Lowry, someone like that, I haven't seen Lowry play very much. So that's one of the reasons I stayed away from him in the draft, because with a sample size of 150 at-bats,
it's tough.
I can't look at the stats and be like, okay, this is what I know. But if I had seen him play, if I had seen him, you know, take 50 at-bats, at least I can get a good feel for the eye test and say, okay, he looks like he can do this, he looks like he can do that. I haven't seen him, so on my draft board, he was way lower than he was on a lot of other people's.
But that's because you didn't have Bleacher's spreadsheet. Bleacher had him very high on his spreadsheet, and that's why he ended up on his team.
Well, and the thing is, I'm sure Bleacher had read stuff and had watched video or whatever and decided that was the right pick for him. People were high on Brett Lowry. I mean, let's not get deluded about it. And, you know, I have no doubt. Well, I shouldn't say no doubt, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's an absolute beast. But I didn't know enough about him to take the chance, so.
Now, if you look at the opposite way, if a guy's a career year, I'm going to stay away from him because I don't think they're going to be able to repeat it. Well, For example, your Ellsbury pick, I don't think he's going to hit. Nobody, I don't know. Do you think he's going to hit 30 home runs?
Well, no, I don't think he's going to hit. I think it was a career year last year. I definitely don't think he's going to hit 30 home runs. I don't think he's a home run guy. But, you know, with that pick there, I feel like I was falling just after kind of a tier drop off with the Ellsbury pick. And I felt like he was the best player on the board for me at the time. I don't love that pick, and I do think that he had a career year. But when I look at what he can do in all the other stats, if he gives me 20 bombs, I'll still be pretty happy. You know, if he's still in 40 bases, hitting 300, scoring a bunch of runs, I think I'll still be in pretty good shape with that pick. But who knows? You know, he may come out and hit 30 bombs again. I mean, he was amazing last year.
He was.
So even if it's only a slight drop-off, that's great. If he dropped below 20... I mean, we're talking about a you know, 33% discount from last year. If he's under that, then I'm in definite trouble. But
can we go on a tangent here? Red Sox outfield, what the heck is going on? That is brutal.
Even if they had Carl Crawford, it would still be brutal. But right now, they've got four outfielders. They have Ryan Sweeney.
I couldn't even tell you one of them if you wanted outside of Carl Crawford. Well, they, I guess
they've
of
got,
course.
Here's the four outfielders that are on their roster for opening day: Ryan Sweeney, Jacoby Ellsbury, Darnell McDonald, and Cody Ross. That's the four outfielders in there on the roster right now.
Doesn't that make you sick?
Wasn't McDonald the guy that his first at-bat hit a home run last year?
McDonald's not a bad player.
I'm thinking of someone else. You're thinking of, who was it? Who was the kid? He's in love with Aaron Andrews. That's all I remember.
Oh, and that rookie. I know what you're talking about. But,
you know, he's just some...
But who isn't in love with Aaron Andrews?
That's true. Haters.
Yeah, Darnell McDonald's a nice player, though. It's not like he's a bad Major League Baseball player, but he's definitely not a guy that I want to see on my fantasy team, and he's not a guy I want starting every day for my favorite baseball team. I can tell you that right now.
What was the other Euclid stat you told me this afternoon?
Kevin Euclid has one extra base hit through all of spring training.
That's scary.
That is scary. I mean, he may be working on something going the other way or whatever for a while, but for all of spring training to be hitting under 250 and have one extra base hit, that makes me nervous. I mean, you can't put a ton into spring training stats, but something like that makes me nervous.
I mean, I cannot have a guy on my fantasy team that has a funnier looking swing than my wife. So that is exactly why Hunter Pence and Kevin Euclid and all those types of players, even Cal Ripken in his day, they're never going to be on my fantasy team because I cannot stand watching them play.
That's how you judge it?
is that a category, like swings? If it's a good swing, you get a point?
It is. You can't tell me Hunter Pence's swing looks worse than any girl out there.
Hey, just take it easy. You're talking about Hunter Pence here. Someone might go nuts.
Oh.
Unbelievable. Any other thoughts about the league, Clint?
I definitely think that the last place Joe is going to hold true to form. He's not going to be in the top half of the league. I think he's had a better draft than he's ever had, but he's definitely going to find a way to blow it. That's the king of last place Joe, is he is not going to be able to keep it together.
Well, the good thing is you know throughout the course of the season that Joe's going to send you some really competitive, balanced trade offers.
He already sent me one today or this week, and I wish I could have remembered who. It involved Clayton Kershaw.
It was Kershaw for Beckett and Holiday.
Oh, it was, whatever it was terrible.
Let's just say Joe is notorious for sending the worst trade proposals in the league. And the one thing that happens with that is even if Joe does send over a good proposal every blue moon, I think it automatically gets discounted because you just assume if Joe sent it to you, it's a terrible offer. Like, you just know that it's basically two for one in value.
If I ever send a trade to Joe and he even is considering it, I know I just royally screwed up.
Yeah, it's like, oh, crap. Withdraw. Abort. So, speaking of trades, how long do you guys wait on a player until you give up on him? Let's call them believers, non-believers. Like Kyle Loesch. If he has four great awesome starts.
I'm a believer.
That's a hard question because you're going to see guys sitting on the waiver wire, especially our league's pretty shallow. We're only 10 managers deep. We're only, you know, starting no corner, no middle, just a utility, three outfielders. So, I mean, it's not a very deep league. So there's going to be some guys on the waiver wire that are of value somewhere down the line, right?
Totally.
So, I mean, it's a good question. How long do you wait until you say, okay, I'm willing to bail on this Chris 17th Shelton. Round draft pick that I made?
Or I'm willing to pick up Chris Shelton and put him in my league and hope that he hits 20 bombs in the first month and never hits another bomb.
Right. Well, right. I'll tell you a great story from last year. I drafted Jordan Zimmermann. I love Jordan Zimmermann. I've had him on my team multiple times. Pretty much every year since he's came up, you know, with the Tommy John in between. But I drafted him last year. I started him a couple times, kind of left him on my bench for a couple starts and just watched him. And I decided, hey, there's something better on the waiver wire, and I think I dropped him about a month in. And then, come to find out, what was it, 2-3 weeks later, mm-hmm. the BOD went and picked him up, and he was an absolute beast the rest of the season. And
good.
I needed starting pitching super bad, and it killed me to not have that guy on my roster. And it all came down to, I didn't wait long enough. I mean, I made a rash decision because I was struggling early in whatever category it was. I don't even remember what I dropped him for, but I know that it wasn't worth the value that I gave up to drop him. So, I mean, I think you've got to be real cautious here the first month. The guys that you drafted, you did it for a reason, hopefully, right? And you've got to be able to say, okay, a simple guy getting hot for a week or whatever is not going to be enough for me to give up on this guy that I drafted.
But right? What is that breakthrough moment? Because the BOD would have loved himself if he would have cut Carl Crawford loose last year, a couple weeks into the season. But you kept believing that the dude was going to come back, that it wasn't Carl Crawford.
Argy offered me Granderson in April for Crawford straight up, and I was like, no way. And I wish I would have done that. I could have won the league. But to counter your argument, I picked up Adam Lind 2 years ago when he hit two bombs opening day or something like that. He hit 28 bombs for me that year and hit 300. Or you look at Cobra, where he picked up Bautista and he hit 35 bombs on a whim. So I guess you got to be careful who you drop, but you got to be able to take that chance because it's worth dropping Jordan Zimmermann if he pitches well to get Jose Bautista.
I agree, but I feel like more often than not, especially in the first 2-3 weeks, you're going to go pick a guy up who is hot, Chris Shelton style, a couple years back, who was hot for the first week. He looks amazing, and he's going to turn into a big pile of crap, you know, by the end of the season. And if you drop something of value, I mean, granted, we all have guys on our roster that we know we're willing to drop. I mean, those guys we took in the last 2-3 rounds, for the most part, they're flyers anyway, right? And so if that's not panning out, you're willing to make that move. But at the same time, you don't want to give up on a guy. If you took a flyer on him, you probably did it for a reason. You like something that guy had. You like some of his tools. And if you're willing to give up on it in 2 weeks, then, you know, it might come back to bite you. You just have to be careful.
I personally think that is how the league is won, is figuring out the stills, figuring out when to cut loose players. The waiver wire ninjas like yourself, BOD, I think that's where the league's won. The draft gives you a huge advantage. They can put people in a hole, put them behind the eight ball, or give you a leg up on somebody. But I think it's won by your moves on the waiver.
I agree. You can lose the league in a draft. You can't win it. But Wally's won it 2 years in a row because he picks up guys like Matt Joyce who play well for 3 weeks. He cuts them loose, or he tries to trade on everybody.
Well, and the science of the waiver wire is because you're competing with everyone else in your league, and it's like a knee-jerk reaction, or you got to get somebody before somebody else gets them. That's why the waiver wire is so important. Trades, I don't think trades, unless they're just crazy one-sided, don't affect the league as much because both sides have such a long time to really think it through how it'll affect both teams.
Right.
The waiver wire, though, you got to pull the trigger before someone else does and hope you got it right.
I agree.
Both for dropping, to pick up somebody else and to add a player.
Well, and that's one of the things that, you know, me and Bodley have talked about this for years, the depth of our league, how it is. It's a pretty shallow league, and we've talked about, hey, we would love to add a couple managers. We'd love to add a couple positions, kind of get this thing a little bit deeper because we feel like it would give us a little bit more of an advantage over some of the other owners. But on the flip side, I think having such a shallow league makes that type of stuff that you're talking about way more important. If you're in a league, if you're in an AL only league, after the draft, you can't make those many decisions, right? Because you're talking about going and adding guys who are platoon guys or who are, you know, only going to get half the at bats of the week. Where what we're talking about, there's actually pretty good quality sitting on the waiver wire, you know, any given time. So you definitely can make a big difference in a league like ours, whereas if you're in a deeper league, it's not going to be like that. The draft is going to be way more influential on the total, you know, end result.
Yeah, you have 12 teams. You take another 50 players off the waiver wire. And past 50, you think if there's 50 less players on our waiver wire right now, there'd be nothing.
I mean, it's always been my contention that there's enough quality starting pitching on our waiver wire that you can compete just playing off the waiver wire with starting pitching. I mean, guys, last year I got James Shields. I got a number of guys just off the waiver wire last year. Anibal Sanchez. There's a bunch of good starting pitching that you could find just sitting there waiting to be had. And I think it's the same. I think it is the same on offense, not to the extent that I believe pitching's out there, but you can still make a difference somehow.
But because of that, I think that's why you should be willing to take the risk to pick somebody up. Like, it's worth dropping Torii Hunter to get some stud pitcher that's coming up. Like, if Steven Strasburg or someone like that was getting called up, take him because he's so much better than everybody else.
No, I agree with that, but like I said, there's still you got to weigh the risk compared to what you're doing.
Because Torii Hunter's still going to be there when you decide to go pick him up again, or if he's not, someone who's pretty much the same guy as Torii Hunter will be there.
True.
I'm looking forward to picking up Hunter Pence on the waiver wire. Here in
Do you think you would ever drop him? Let's say he went 0 for 100. Would you ever
drop
him?
At this point, I can't. I mean, I've embedded myself with this guy so deep, there's no way that I can.
You know, for 200.
I would love to see Wally propose a trade where he gets Pence from you.
Well, we obviously know that's not going to happen. But like you said, dude, that's the most uncomfortable thing about this is I've embedded myself with this guy that I've never really liked. But, you know, it is what it is.
Let's do some bold predictions. You got one for us, Clint?
Oh, I got several.
Oh, baby. Let's hear them.
First, let it be known that I am a gigantic Mariners fan, and that is tough to be proud of.
You excited for Sean Figgins this year?
Oh, he's gonna tear it up. I cannot wait.
He'll probably have the same amount of home runs as I will this year.
You're probably right. Who wins in a race, Sean Figgins or you?
I am a ninja.
Okay, back to the Mariners. So I personally think that King Felix, and we are talking about the Mariners, but I think he is going to win 19 games this year.
Wow. You know the problem with that bold prediction is? The Mariners won't win 19 games this year. Is he getting traded?
Wait. Felix is going to win 19 games, and the Mariners are going to win 25 games. Now, that is bold. That is bold as it comes.
Well, will the six other wins come from blown saves by Brandon League that he gets the wins for? That would be nice.
They might come from walk-off home runs from Joni Figgins.
So who do you like on the Mariners?
King Felix?
You like Ackley?
Yeah, I think he'll be good. I mean, again, back to Wally Ball's gut feeling. Dude picks him up, one of his eight second basemen on his team, and hits a bomb and has a stolen base the first game out of the gates.
Nice. I think Dustin Ackley's a pretty good talent, though. I mean,
he was the second overall pick. I mean, he's legit.
That lineup lacks for sure, and it's going to make it a little bit difficult to put up big stats, but especially the field. I mean, it's a huge park as well, so.
I think Montero's going to be real good, too, the catcher that they got from the Yankees for Pineda. But I don't think he's going to be great this year.
Well, I think it depends on your league, too. If he's only DH eligible, that really hinders the value as compared to him being catcher eligible in some leagues.
I think he'll be fantastic once he gets catcher eligible in probably May because he'll play every day. He's the only bat in that lineup outside of Ackley.
Right. Well, and that's one of the things that you can attest to as of last year with Victor Martinez catcher spot. I mean, that's one of the hardest things in fantasy baseball is to maximize your games at catcher because the catchers are sitting every 3, 4, 5 days, right? And it makes it hard when you don't know when that's going to happen. You essentially have to have an extra catcher just sitting on your bench so that when the card gets posted and you see your guy's not starting, you can hurry and flip somebody else in there. And it's hard to stay up on catcher. So if you have a guy like Victor Martinez that's going to go out there and be in the lineup every day, whether it's a DH or whatever, but you can fill him in at catcher, it definitely makes a big difference.
I didn't realize this till yesterday. Victor had over 100 RBIs last year. That's money from your catcher spot.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, he was definitely quality at catcher, you know, and at a position where there's not a lot of diversity and no one that really stands out, you know, something like that can make a huge difference.
It'll be interesting to see how he is when he gets back. But that's next year.
Yeah.
Bold prediction for you, Scott. You got one?
I don't know that I didn't lock and load
one. Any Hunter Pence predictions?
Let me let him think about it again. I'll throw out another one. I think that Bryce Harper is going to have more at bats than Chase Utley, and will have twice as many home runs.
Wow!
I think Bryce Harper is going to have 18 home runs this year. And he's not even in the bigs right now. I think he is going to be legit.
So when are you going to pick him up?
That's something that we've talked about before, is when does Clint pick up Bryce Harper?
Because honestly, as it gets closer to June, everybody's in the back of their minds thinking, Bryce Harper.
I don't even know if he's available.
Is he on the player list right now? Can you even go get him?
I think he is.
He's got to be. I'm not sure, though. I know some of those young guys aren't. Right. But.
I think, just like with Longoria, the only reason that he didn't start the league with the bigs is so that they can wait the couple months so that then they can keep him longer.
Make him Super 2, basically.
Yeah, Super 2. And so as soon as he's past that time, I think they bring him up. I think the Nationals will have a good team. But with that outfield, I don't think they have anything to lose to get him going. And I really think he's going to hit 18 bombs this year.
Whoa. You're dogging the Nationals outfield? You have the star of the show, Jason Wirth, in your outfield, Clint. How dare you say that?
Oh, yeah. He's going to hit 300 this year. That's another bold
Jason
prediction.
Wirth is going to hit 300?
300
That is a
balls?
Bold prediction. That is a very bold prediction.
That would be the boldest of predictions.
I meant to say I need him to hit 300 or I will be like 40 points below the second place team.
Well, we talked about your team, I think it was last podcast, and what you did. I mean, we said essentially your punting average. Is that how you feel, that you've gone into this thing knowing that you're either taking a 1, 2, or 3 in average?
Yeah, I'm not right at this stage in the game unless Pujols hits 420. I'm in trouble.
Because you took Chris Young, Wirth, and who's your other awesome outfielder? With some other stud who...
apparently he's a stud. We can't even think of his name.
Especially you like your team enough to know what your outfield is.
Drew Stubbs.
Drew Stubbs. There you go. Speaking of awesome,
you gotta love a guy that his last name is Stubbs.
Stubbs. I made a bet with Last Place Joe last year. He traded for him halfway through the year, and the bet was Drew Stubbs will not hit above 300. Let's just say I won that bet.
The best was when Joe traded for him. He thought he was a 300 hitter. Like, did you not even look at the guy's stat line before you traded for him? Dude, it takes 5 seconds. Click on his name, and there you go.
If my outfield hits a combined 250, I'm happy.
Dude. That's sad, nice though, that you've got three guys that you're hoping combined can hit 250.
If they hit 250, then the rest of my team hits 375, and I finish in the money.
Here's the downside to it all. I mean, with average, if you don't intend to punt it, you've got to change something quick, because it's going to be average isn't one of those things you can just turn around in a day. With all the average non-counting stats, it takes a long time to make headway. So if you're going to make a trade and try and compete, you've got to do it pretty quick.
But I don't think, honestly. No offense to you, I'm not trading for Chris Young. So I don't know. I don't know how you were going to get
breakout year.
Well, dude, Chris Young's a guy with good power. He's got some speed.
Guess what I'm saying is
not a good start for my average too. Gabby Sanchez went 0-for-3 tonight.
You better get used to it.
Probably won't be playing him much.
That was a good pick, though. I love Sanchez pick.
I'm just saying his average. He'll see a lot of 0-for-3s.
I can only go up from here, though.
Well, the problem is, until we watched this game tonight, I didn't know, but I have a feeling all the Marlins are going to really struggle in average, because every time they step into the box, they have to look at that freaking monstrosity out in center field. That's got to be making difficult to hit when you see that spray-painted, flashing light Marlins dancing around.
Plus you hit it 410 in the gap, and it's just a routine fly ball. It's a can of corn. That park is gigantic.
Burkall hit the longest ball of his career. And he was caught in center field.
Well, with Giancarlo Stanton second at bat, he hit a 400 plus, and the dude barely got it on the warning track. I mean, he still needed another 25, 30 feet, it looked like, to get
with
it out.
With the tee, four times I couldn't hit it. Hit it, walk to where the ball is, hit it again, walk to where the ball is. With the tee, I couldn't hit it out of that park.
Well, you do actually have no limbs, so that would be hard. He actually has no limbs, ladies and gentlemen. The other crazy thing about that stadium is it's all in green.
Yeah, that is a crazy green.
It's
right?
Like green screen. Like, they're going to have ads when you watch it on TV.
Well, I mean, green is the main color for most stadiums, with all the padding and stuff.
But not it's neon dark green.
Yeah, it's like a darker grass type green instead of this.
It's a repulsive green.
Yeah, they're going with the 80s style neon green all over that stadium. I don't know. I mean, it looked like a nice stadium, but there's a few choices that I would have made different, I think.
Did you come up with a bold prediction yet? I got one.
Let's hear it.
David Fries, in lieu of tonight, will have 100 RBIs this year.
Yeah, let's just say if we'd recorded this yesterday, that would not have been a bold prediction.
I would have said 60.
How many did he have anywhere in ballpark last year?
Well, his problem is he's hurt all the time. He had 21 in the postseason, which is, I think he had 21. Pretty good.
Let's just say he's hurt so often that Yahoo sent a message that said we actually had to put him on Wally's team.
Speaking of Yahoo, I hate their stat tracker. Their stat tracker is terrible.
It's terrible.
Yeah, we play on Yahoo. We've been playing on Yahoo for a long time, like 12 years now.
Because we've been playing there because we like the stat tracker.
Right. And they went to free a little while ago, which was nice, so we didn't have to pay for the live stats anymore, which is always good. But, they mixed the stat tracker up this year, and it's only day one. So, I'm going to sit on the sideline and say maybe it's just because we're not used to it, but... as of today, I'm not that stoked about it.
And, hey, Yahoo.
I hope that doesn't hurt your feelings, Wally.
Yahoo, just so you know, anytime you want to get a stat tracker for iPhones or the iPad, go right ahead, guys.
Yeah, seriously.
It's 2012.
That would be really nice if you could pull the stat tracker up on your iPad.
I don't know how to do it myself, but I bet I could hire a guy to do it.
They need to. Their mobile app is terrible.
Oh, it's awful.
It is terrible. That should not happen in 2012.
I mean, I don't know. It's to the point that we might need to look to move to a different site almost, because I know, there's other good sites out there. CBS is a good site. ESPN's got a good site.
I honestly don't even know what their stat trackers are like.
we might as well take a look at them. Yeah. Not that we can move it now. I mean, we're kind of locked in.
Maybe when this podcast gets big, we'll have people like offer us things to go to their website.
Why don't we have listeners? Why don't you hit us up? Email offbasepodcast@gmail.com. Tell us where you're playing. Tell us what you like about it, what you don't like about it. You know, we're more than open to moving from Yahoo. It's not like we're in love with that place, but
I'm going to make a golden guarantee. If you send us an email to offbasepodcast@gmail.com or you tweet at us at offbasepodcast, I guarantee your email will be read on the air or your tweet will be read on the air. Unless it talks about Scott's mother, and it might not.
That is a guarantee, folks.
Unless it talks badly about Hunter Pence, let's be honest.
I got another one. Sorry to keep throwing these out.
No, do it, dude.
Pedroia finishes outside the top 100 on the player rater this year.
Wow. Outside the top 100? Why, you think he's going to get hurt?
Pedroia, I hate Pedroia.
Why do people hate Pedroia?
I don't know. Everyone acts like,
Let it be known if it's not. I'm sitting in the room with the two biggest Red Sox fans in the world.
Hey. I might be a little overweight, but I'm not the biggest Red Sox fan in the world.
Seriously, though,
I'm the biggest Mariners fan in the world, then.
why do you hate Pedroia, though? What's that based on?
Again, I think he just plays like he's 50. I just can't stand. Again, it comes back to the goofy looking swing.
Dude, he plays hard every night.
He's busting his balls out there.
Man. I do not think he's good. I mean, I give him the A for effort. You'll be the first one to hear that from me, but I don't think he can't keep it up. He's not good.
Let's say he goes 15-15, 105 runs, 290, and has 75 RBIs.
That gets him in the top 100.
I'll take that any day of the week.
Second pick, though, you would have to take him in the second round.
Well, no, I wouldn't take him there, but he's still a good player.
But you would have had to. I mean, that's right. The price.
That's what I mean. He's a second rounder. I personally don't think he's going to be in the top 100.
Would you rather have Dustin Pedroia or Hunter Pence?
I'd rather have Hunter Pence.
Wow. That would be the worst pick of the draft.
And you have to take the fact that Hunter Pence has a goofy swing, and I don't like that on my team.
Oh, my gosh.
So that is even weighing it that much more that I just don't like Pedroia.
Wow.
I don't.
I don't know. I think Pedroia's going to – I don't know that he, you know, meets the 2020 standard that some people are expecting.
Would you rather have Dustin Pedroia, Big Cat, just Dustin Pedroia or Hunter Pence?
Dustin Pedroia.
If you wouldn't have taken Cano in your first pick, let's say you would have taken Votto, or let's say Adrian would have fell to you. Would you have taken Pedroia in the second round?
There was a legit shot that it would have happened. I mean – I don't know. Second base is way deeper this year, and so I think I might have been comfortable waiting. I love the idea of getting a guy like Brandon Phillips or whatever, you know.
But people say it's deep, but Cano is so much better than everybody else, and Kinsler and Pedroia. I mean, I got to roll with Neil Walker and Kelly Johnson. That scares the crap out of me.
Right. Well, I agree with that. I mean, there's no doubt that there's a big difference between those top three and everybody else, but I still think you could get value at second base a little bit later.
Yeah.
Brandon Phillips is a nice player. I mean, there's still nice players that are out there that were sitting around. Dan Uggla, I mean, you have to take the batting average hit, but he's going to hit you a lot of bombs for second base. I mean, there was other guys out there that can be of value to you. It was just, you know, Michael Kadire, a guy that we talked about a while ago, get him at second base, that would be, you know.
Jason has him and Zobrist.
Ben Zobrist, I mean, there's another guy. There's plenty of guys at second base who are quality.
Do you got one more for us, Clint? Then we're going to wrap up.
That's probably all the bold predictions I have.
You got one, Scott?
Dude, I didn't lock and load one for today.
Oh, he didn't lock and load one because he's had his panties in a knot because of Hunter Pence.
I mean, I've been too busy.
He's been fighting.
I've been too busy posting messages on the message board.
When he's not posting a message, he's just complaining to me about it. Like, it is unbelievable how much he's defending Hunter Pence.
Let's
it's like
honest.
It's his daughter.
I've calmed the way down today, though.
Oh, which is funny because you were a little riled up, but you really are calm.
Compared to where I was, it's true. Yeah. So, anyway, there's been way too much Hunter Pence talk on this this episode of the podcast. So, all right. Well, we will be back next week. Last Place Joe will be back in the fold, I believe.
He might not be back next week. He might still be out of town. Oh, one thing we forgot to talk about. We'll talk about it next week. Last Place Joe will be seeing his lover, Tim Lincecum, pitch in person.
We might have to get Joe on the phone, actually, to tell us about that experience.
And his two whip. Yeah. Is 2.5 whip for the season.
He might, if you see a stalker running out there naked to go hug Tim Lincecum, that might be last place Joe.
Dude, after watching Josh Johnson today, though, let's not just say just because you have a 2 whip means you're bad. I mean,
let's say it. That's bad.
Do you guys think it's a little weird that last place Joe is growing his hair out so he can look like Lincecum?
Well, I mean, the fact that he's going out there just to see his first start.
He was livid that you changed up the opening to the podcast that says he hates Lincecum.
Everybody listening to this right now, go back and listen to the opening that I put together last week. I'm going to put it on here again. I've done a little manipulation and made it sound like Joe is taking a hit on Tim Lincecum, and that was probably my favorite thing that we've done on the podcast so far. So
I've never seen him want to hit somebody, except right then.
It was almost as if you would talk bad about Hunter Pence.
Yep. Well, let's not get crazy.
So, all right, yeah. Hit us up on Gmail, offbasepodcast@gmail.com.
Tell them about my tiny URL.
Well, what is it? It's tinyurl.com/offbasepodcastleague.
That's right.
And it is tiny.
That's the tiny URL. You can go to there. You can actually view the league. You can see everybody's team, see the standings. You can read the message board, I believe. All that stuff is available through that link, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but the greatest thing about that tiny URL is that it's like the longest tiny URL of all time. tinyurl.com/offbasepodcastleague.
So you got that. Check that out. Follow us on Twitter. We're actually getting quite a few followers here lately on Twitter. So at Off Base Podcast on Twitter. And the BOD, he's the man on the Twitter. Just like he's the waiver wire ninja, he's getting information up there real quick. So it's definitely a valuable follow if you're looking to get information on stuff. So,
and if you have any questions baseball related, or you want to talk about Doritos, or you know, anything you want, we're here to answer you on Twitter.
Yep. All right. We'll see you later.